Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We got into the Jets. Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, Adam Gase. What's happening over there in Florham Park? Coleccio Semele. I mean, in your wildest, and I'd say dreams, you don't dream about stuff like this, in your wildest nightmares, if I would have told you this 2 months ago, as you're preparing for the season, that the Jets would be this, 1-6, no confidence in the GM, no confidence in the coach. Now, the GM is unfounded because he's brand new and he's done nothing, but people are just negative with everything with the Jets. No confidence in the coach. You're completely despondent when it comes to the owner. Your best player is a walking nightmare as far as the way they treat him and the way he reacts to it. And your franchise quarterback, and I still like him, but your franchise quarterback may not even be a franchise quarterback. Or maybe you're uncertain. And it got to the point this week that Joe Douglas, Adam Gase, and crew were ready to strip it all the way down. Sell the tires, sell the rims, sell the hood, sell the seats for parts to try and redo this thing in the offseason. This is the opposite of what you thought the Jets were going to be. So we'll get into the Jets as we move forward this morning. Knicks last night, I told Ty and Kai, which is a nice little, I feel like Walt Frazier, Ty and Kai on the other side. But I feel like with the Knicks, I have so little energy and so little to give at this point. I get so wrapped up. And I watched Julius Randle just outside dribbling the basketball. And look, they played hard last night. They did. I mean, I like what RJ Barrett is. Morris is fine. Randle frustrates me. They play hard. They're just not ultimately all that talented. And they're going to win 25 games again. The one thing you want to see Knox, you want to see RJ, you want to see Mr. Robinson, especially RJ, produce and improve as the season goes on. So we'll get into the Knicks a little bit later. You know what we do at 9:45. We do a little football frenzy. 10:30, Stump Rothenberg. 11 o'clock, RJ Bell. And this morning at 10 o'clock, Matt Ehalt is going to join us. You say, tell me about this, Matt Ehalt. Well, I will. Matt Ehalt covers the Mets for Yahoo Sports. You say, the Mets, we're going to get to the Mets. We're getting into the Mets right now. Because the Mets are one of those teams that you want to go all in on, you want to believe in, you want to think they're finally taking the turn, that they're finally have made that one final improvement, but we have no idea. That's the truth. So you're going to get people, and we'll open up the phone lines at 800-919-3776. You're going to get people that have called me this morning. I love this hire. I love Beltran. He's going to win. He's got a great attitude. He's a great guy. He's a baseball guy, and that's fine. And you're going to get people that say, how in the world could you have Buck Showalter, Joe Girardi on the horizon right there wanting this job, and you go in a different direction and hire Carlos Beltran with no major league experience? And you know what the truth is? You're both right. Because I'm not, and you know me, I'm very opinionated, but I'm not going to sit here and turn on the microphone and freak out that this is the worst hire in the history of baseball. The Mets do what the Mets do, and they have no idea, and they're such a joke and all these things. I'm not going to do it. And I'm also not going to sit here and tell you that this is the greatest hire in the history of baseball, that Beltran's a baseball guy. He's going to relate to the Latin players. He's a brilliant baseball mind. He's well-liked in every clubhouse he's ever been in. He's good with the media. I'm not going to do that either. Because you know what the truth is? I have no idea. Now, if you said to me a month ago, who do you want? I want a Girardi. Now, why wouldn't you? Mickey Callaway is your manager. And let's be fair. Mickey Callaway was not great. He was not horrendous. Guys played for him. I think his players liked him, as evidenced by every big loss the Mets had this past season. They rebounded from. I mean, they lost that game. They trailed by, what, 6 runs in the 9th inning? 7 runs, whatever the number was, against the Nationals. And don't even start me with the Nationals now. I can't believe they won the World Series. But they trailed that in the 9th inning. Blew it. Awful. And it was our dear friend Edwin Diaz who blew it yet again in that game. Right? Awful loss, worst loss you've seen for the Mets maybe ever. Really, might have been the biggest collapse in a loss you've ever seen in the history of baseball. A 6-run lead in the 9th inning, and what do they do the next afternoon? come back and win. And then I think they won again and again. They won like 3 out of 4 after that. So the Mets were a resilient bunch. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Mickey Callaway was a disaster, because I don't think Mickey Callaway was a disaster. I think there were times he was in over his head. I think there's a lot of chatter and a lot of noise that comes from above. And I think for the most part, he did a pretty good job. But I know that people will sit here and scream from the rafters, it was awful, he was terrible. You know what? When guys play for you, that's half the battle. Is it an embarrassment that he's going out with the wrong lineup card? Yeah. Some of the way he used his pitching, some of the guys he put in and out of the lineup. But my question to you on that is, how much was Mickey and how much of that is Brody calling down or telling him the expectation? This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to ride with it. This is how you're going to run this team. I don't think we have the answers to that. But I think what's obvious is, and so am I horrified that Mickey's gone? No, I'm fine that Mickey left. Do I look at Beltran and say, that, my friends, is a huge step up in class? You know what the truth is, guys? We have no idea. We have absolutely no idea what Carlos Beltran is going to be. Beltran could be terrific. Beltran could be a disaster. And odds are Beltran will be somewhere in between those two things. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was Beltran over Girardi that I wanted. It was Beltran over Joe Maddon, which is never a real possibility. It was Beltran over Buck Showalter. I'm not going to tell you that. But Beltran over Tim Bogar? All right, that's fine. Eduardo Perez? All right, that's fine. And now we wait and we see. So, I mean, you want this huge monster opinion, and I typically have them. But I just don't feel all that strongly one way or the other. Time will tell. It's like when a team hires a coach. You're going to come out and you're going to freak out about it? Well, you might if you don't like them, or you might love them and freak out about it in a positive. But what do we know about Carlos Beltran? What do we know? We know he's good with the media. We know he's well-liked in the locker room, in the clubhouse. We know he's never managed, has little or no experience in Major League Baseball as far as managing, dugout experience. That's what we know. All right, so now we wait and see. What's the next step? Let's see how the guy handles the Mets. I mean, listen, this is a talented team. I'm not saying that they have the most talent in all of baseball, but this is a team that could absolutely win 90 games. And you look at this division now. You got, in my opinion, and I know this is maybe ridiculous to say, in my opinion, the best team in the division, honestly, is still Atlanta. Now, obviously Washington wins, so they make the case for being the best team, but over 162 games, it's Atlanta. So they scare you. I don't know what's going to happen with Washington. What's going to happen with Strasburg? We have no idea. He's going to opt out probably. Now, if he stays in Washington or not, remains to be seen. Anthony Rendon, what happens with him? So you look at the Nationals. If they lose those two guys, I mean, they could be back to a mediocre team next year. But they're the World Series champions. Then you have the Phillies, who hired the manager that I think most people wanted. And then you have the Mets. So you could argue right now that in the National League East, the Mets are the fourth best team. But you know what? You could also argue that going up and down this lineup and looking at this roster, and we don't know how it's going to fill out. We don't know what they're going to do with Syndergaard. We don't know what they're going to do with Wheeler. We don't know what's going to happen with a couple of these guys. But you could look up and down this roster and say, this team can finish second in this division. And I think you can. So what are they going to do this offseason? Are they going to make any moves which make you scratch your head? Are they going to make moves which actually make you look at things and say, oh, okay, here we go. They finally are spending some money wisely and trending in the right direction. But you know where it starts from? It starts from the top. It starts from the owners. And that's where look at it. Look at the Jets right now. Do you trust the owner? No. Look at the Knicks right now. Do you trust the owner? No. Look at the Mets right now. Do you trust the owner? No. Look at the good teams in sports. Look at the Patriots. Do you trust the owner? You couldn't trust them more. That's how it works. If the owner, typically, and not always, if you have an owner that's smart and will hire the right pieces and then get out of the way, you have a better chance than not to win. Do the Mets have that? No. So that's where the problem lies. But I'm not going to sit here and turn on the mic and scream that Beltran is the greatest hire. Oh, boy, they hit a home run. I can't imagine being more pleased than I am with Carlos Beltran. I'd never say that today. And I'm not going to sit here and kill the hire because I don't think it's awful. This is how I see it. For the second tier of guys. Mickey was a guy that had no experience. Never ran a team before. Pitching coach, fine, did a nice job, but there's a far cry from being, what's the old adage, the guy sitting in the head coach's chair and right next to him. Well, Mickey, when he took on that responsibility of being the manager of this team, there were a lot of times where he made you scratch your head. But what's so frustrating, this is frustrating to me, is that we were at the point where you thought, all right, if they move on from Mickey, hopefully they'll bring in someone with some experience that's done it before that can really have the respect of this locker room from the jump. And they didn't do that. They hired a guy with no experience in Carlos Beltran. So now we wait, and now we see. I'm not going to sit here and scream and yell and the greatest hire, can't believe they did it, brilliant, sensational, never been happier to be a Mets fan. I'm not going to do it. And I'm also not going to sit here and tell you that this is an absolute disaster. Because you know what? It's not. We're somewhere in the middle. 800-919-3776. The Mets have a manager. You like it, you love it, you hate it, or you like me, time will tell.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
How about this past week, huh? You will never, ever, ever, and I really do mean this, ever see a playoff series in any sport like that again, where the home team loses every single game, every game of the entire series. And I don't want to say choke job by the Astros, but you're up 3-2 with Verlander, Greinke, and the potential of Cole, and you can't figure out a way to win that series. And they had chances in Game 7. They had the lead, and they had multiple guys on in like the first four innings and couldn't hammer home any more runs. But to me, the worst decision from A.J. Hinch, how in the world do you have the best pitcher in the world right now, on the entire planet, right now? In my mind, Gerrit Cole is the best. He's available, he warms up, and he never comes in. That if I was an Astros fan, I would never get over that. Like, to my grave, that would haunt me. If Greinke was on the short leash that he clearly was on, then why in the world did you not start the seventh with him? Or you say, you know what, Greinke, pitch the seventh, home run to Rendon, let's bring him in then. Or finish out the seventh, Greinke. Harris comes in, home run, down 3-2. Let's bring him in then in the eighth. But let's warm him up twice and never bring him in was awful.
But apparently awful. There was some agreed upon kind of,
look,
you know.
Voice of God just pops right in. It's nice that you showed up for the show this week, Ty.
Oh, I'm always here.
No, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know what? I took your advice and I got your agent because, you know, your schedule this summer. I mean, anyone work less and make more money than Dave Rothenberg
wow.
This summer?
I mean, taking shots. I mean, you do realize contractually I do a certain amount of Saturday shows.
I don't know.
All the vacation I take for those Saturday shows is in the summer.
No, I just think that you're lazy and don't really care
you
about working
that.
On Saturday.
If you were given a lie detector test and they said, is Rothenberg lazy and doesn't work that hard, there's no way you'd believe that.
I don't know. The Rothenberg that I first met when I got to the station was one who didn't take any days off during the football season. He was working Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
But since then, you have kind of regressed.
Uh-huh. With my like beach vacations in October.
Yeah, going to Aruba.
All right, so if you'd like to chime into the show, and you know I'm a big fan of yours, and we know where you attended school, the Newhouse School of Communications.
Which you always seem to remind people. I don't even have to do it.
I mean, it's pretentious. I mean, who's more pretentious? Who puts their university on their heading of their email?
That's not the point.
The point is you popped in here with a great Gerrit Cole point.
After the game, we learned that there was an agreement amongst Cole and A.J. Hinch that he wasn't going to be coming into the game during an inning.
Okay, so after start Greinke, the seventh with him.
Yeah, but you said after Greinke gives up the home run.
Well, that's fine. I understand that. So, but things change.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? You have an agreement. Things change. Why could you have not brought him in the minute Rendon hit the home run?
Because they had
that's
an agreement before the game.
That's basically a fresh inning.
They had an agreement before the game. You're not going to come in during the inning.
But that's the same thing. I mean, it's a fresh inning. There's no one on. There's no one out. It's like starting an inning.
I don't know.
And if Greinke's and why not at the end of six have Greinke run off and say, you know what, Zach? Awesome. Loved it. Now we're going to hand it over to the best pitcher on the planet right now. Or even the worst case scenario, they have this stupid agreement. He's not going to come in unless it's a fully clean inning. Top of the eighth, down 3-2. You couldn't have brought him in then?
Or you could just go to Asuna after Greinke gives up the home run.
I don't want. Why am I? No, I didn't like that at all. I thought that AJ Hinch was awful in that game seven.
So you would rather Greinke have just finished the inning after he gives up the home run to Rendon?
Either you trust Greinke or you don't. So because he allows the home run, Rendon is unbelievable. He's been sensational. Fine. And then you have Soto come up, and there's a horrendous missed strike call. So he walks. It would have been 2-2 instead of 3-1. Then he walks him. Fine. Now, Greinke has been out of this world. You don't trust him to continue along?
Is part of it, though, like we're missing out on, you know, Harris did give up the 2-run home run, but that pitch that Howie Kendrick hit, you know, it wasn't a meatball right over the middle of the plate. It was outside corner.
Yeah, it was a good piece of hitting. And then what bothered me probably even more than that was 8th inning, 3-2, 2-out, man on second, Soto comes up, and they pitch to him, and he gets a base hit. I know Kendrick's been great and has come up with huge hits in the postseason. There is no way in the world that I'm going to go after Juan Soto over Howie Kendrick. So for me, for my money, I thought AJ Hinch was not very good in that Game 7 of the World Series. Let's get back to the Mets, 800-919-3776. Your feeling on Carlos Beltran. You like it, you hate it, you're in the middle, I'm in the middle. That's where I am right now, firmly entrenched in the middle. I might love him, I might hate him, I don't know enough right now. I don't. Would I prefer Girardi? 100%. Would I prefer Buck? 100%. Buck's too smart. The Mets don't want any part of Buck Showalter. They don't want a manager who's going to be down there that when you call down and you say stuff, he's going to hang up the phone and tell you to get a clue. They don't want that. So they don't want Showalter. They don't want Girardi. They want, in essence, and this is a really mean thing to say, but they want a puppet-like figure that's happy to have the job, that's going to cater to what Brody wants, that if the owner of the team has this great thought at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know what? I can talk to Carlos Beltran about it. And he's not going to laugh at me like Buck or Girardi would. 800-919-3776. Marvin in the Bronx. Good morning, Marvin. You're first up.
Look,
on
Dino, I don't know what happened last week, but I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this in an unenviable position. Because you know where Ty went to school, and I had three relatives that went to school there, so I have no love for that school. But Ty is invaluable.
Ty's like a good first base coach.
You love to have him around. Ty is a great point guard, like Oscar.
I wouldn't go that far. I think you're placating to him a little bit. Great point. I mean, the Knicks need a great point guard. That's organizational change. If you have a great,
I'm gonna put stuff categorically. You know, I love you, and look, I look forward to Saturdays. The only reason I haven't talked to you recently, I'm in graduate school working on another master's degree.
Good for you. Right? How many master's degrees do you need?
This will be my second one. I'm done with school after this.
Like, are you just showing off at this point?
I'm not that articulate, so I need some help.
You got a voice of a god, and you're a very bright guy. So you promised me this, Marvin. Two masters, that's it. You don't need a third master's, okay?
I don't need a third master's. All right. But here's the deal. I think it's a very good hiring. First of all, I've got to say this to you, DR. There's a saying in the Marine Corps, indecision will get you killed. So you got to get on one side of the fence.
I don't feel strongly about it.
Yeah, okay. But I think it's a good hiring because I guess they took a role model from our Yankees. Second of all, I'm glad the Astros lost because they're an obnoxious, ostentatious, histrionic type team. And I predicted when they beat the Yankees, I told my wife's a Yankee hater, I said the Washington will beat them in 7 games. And I'm ecstatic over that.
Yeah, well, good call by you, and I'm still surprised by it. I can't believe that. I mean, Strasburg was so good in that series. Because let's be fair, Scherzer was not. Scherzer was not sensational in that series, and it was on guile and guts that he was able to push his way through, but Strasburg was really unbelievable. Strasburg and Soto carried them in that series. Let's go to Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What's up, Ken?
Hey, man, look, to me, man, I don't even know how to feel about this move, man. This guy got no experience. It's like a typical Met move, man, full of question marks. I think that's the way you feel, Kenny.
I think you have a lot of question marks, and I think to savagely beat down on this move right now is kind of unfair to the Mets and to Beltran.
Yeah, but you can't big it up neither. You can't be really positive about it because, like you said, there's a question mark.
I'm not sitting here tooting the Mets' horns and saying what a brilliant hiring this was. I'm right in the middle. I don't know. I mean, would I prefer Beltran to Perez or to Bogar or to Murphy, whatever the guy's name was from Milwaukee? Sure. Would I prefer him over Girardi, Showalter, Madden, any of those guys? No. I'm right in the middle with this hire.
Yeah, I would have rather seen Madden up in there, man. Showalter second. But like I said, you know, being a Mets fan is tough, man. You know that, and I know that. So we shouldn't really be surprised by the move, Dave.
I'm not surprised. And thanks for the call, Kenny. And you hit the nail on the head. Nothing is surprising. You're a Mets fan. Nothing surprises you. Nothing. And you know what the thing is? And this is true. Yankees hire Aaron Boone. No experience. None. And you think to yourself, this will work because it's the Yankees, because they have the hierarchy in place to make it work. And it's worked. He's had two terrific regular seasons and two. Yeah, I mean, listen, last year Boston was just better. And I think this year Houston was just better. So he hasn't, you know, met the expectation of the postseason, but you'd be hard-pressed to say that he hasn't done well. He's done well. And he's part of the reason he's done well is because they put the parameters in place for him to be able to do well. And the Mets? You have no idea. If the Yankees fired Aaron Boone and hired Carlos Beltran, you'd say to yourself, you know what, I can live with this because I trust the Yankees. The Mets do the exact same thing. And you have no faith because it's the Mets. Isn't that true?
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, let's go. Football frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. 800-919-3776 on the phones at Rothenberg ESPN on the Twitter. Lot to get to. Let's go. Steve in Oak Ridge. Steve, you're on the frenzy.
Knockout pool, Bills or Vikings?
Oh, Bills. That's a ridiculous. If you're actually there where you're not sure between those two, you have bigger problems. I mean, you never, ever go against the Chiefs at home. Bills every single day of the week. 800-919-3776 on the Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. Matt Dad Witta says, Jets are on the clock. Young, Judy, Thomas, all on the board. Young. Young every single day of the week. Steven, Jersey. Steve, you're on the frenzy. Go ahead,
hey,
Steve.
Do you feel the Skins organization should be held accountable and the medical staff should be fired for not really caring about Trent Williams? And then if you think back,
I definitely think that there should be an investigation. I mean, the guy has what turns out to be a tumor on his head. They tell him it's fine, just we'll keep an eye on it, and it turns out to be cancerous, and they just waited on it. And this is supposed to be a team that's so concerned and worried and takes proper care of their players. He'll never play there again, and I don't blame him. Charlie in Blue Point. Charlie, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, man, I just had a quick question for you. I was wondering if you thought that Williams would make an immediate impact on
for the Giants? I mean, the thing is, I think this is fair to say. I think Leonard Williams is the Giants' best defensive player now. Now, I don't know whether that's because Leonard Williams is so good or the defense, in fact, is so bad. But, yeah, I think he'll make an impact. I don't think you're going to see Aaron Donald out there, but do I think he'll make an impact? Yes, I absolutely think that he will make his presence noticeable. And the Giants' run defense should be pretty decent. I mean, they have some big bodies who can stuff the run. 800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN on Twitter. Jerry Long Island. Jerry, you're on the frenzy.
Will Le'Veon Bell rush for more than 20 attempts this game and the rest of the season moving forward?
The rest of the season, no. They will have games where he doesn't get 20 touches. If he does not get 20 runs tomorrow, forget about touches, 20 rushing attempts tomorrow, then there is something so wrong. There might be anyway. I mean, the Jets look to be nothing short of a disaster right now. But if he doesn't get 25 rushing attempts tomorrow, Adam Gase needs his head examined. Then something is horrendously wrong going on there with Gase and the Jets in Florham Park. Jim, Long Island. Jimmy, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, since the Jets and the Giants are very thin at wide receiver, why do you think neither team went for Josh Gordon on the waiver wire?
Well, not only did the Jets and Giants not go for Josh Gordon, nobody other than Seattle went for Josh Gordon. Of the 32 teams, there was one team that made a play for Gordon. It was Seattle. Why? Because who wants that kind of headache? If you go to New England and you can't figure out a way to make it work in the most functional, well-run, winning organization in all of sports, then you really want the Jets and or the Giants to take a play on a guy who's truthfully not all that good anymore and absolutely more headache than worth at this point. No. Dennis Farmingdale. Dennis, you're on the Frenzy.
What's going on? I was wondering if there's any shot you think that the Jets-Jamal Adams relationship is salvageable, maybe even if we give him a new contract.
Only if you give him a new contract, and I would say even that is unlikely. He doesn't want to be here. You're going to have problems the rest of the year with him. You're going to have problems in the offseason. And by the time we get to the draft in April, he will not be on the Jets. Quite frankly, being totally honest with you, they should have traded him the other day. They should have. Because he can't handle the fact that the Jets were on the verge of dealing him. Juan and Elizabeth. Juan, you're on the Frenzy.
With Sterling Shepard back on Monday, and if Daniel Jones has the same game that he did last week, do you think the Giants beat the Cowboys on Monday night?
50-50. I mean, I don't think Shepard makes a huge addition, and the Giants' defense is still not good. If you put up 20, what they score, 26 on Monday? If you put up 26 points, do you win that game? I think you're right there. I mean, you probably need to score 30 points to ensure victory against Dallas. The Giants' defense, and we've seen this, the Giants' defense is just not good. Dakota in Jersey. Dakota, you, my friend, are on the Frenzy.
If the Steelers beat the Colts this Sunday and get back to 500, does that propel them back into the playoff race?
No, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. I mean, the Bills have a better record. There's going to be probably an AFC South team, wild card-wise, that's going to have a better record. I mean, they're not far off, but I just don't think they're very good. That's the truth. Honestly, I do not think that the Steelers are a very good football team. All right, Kyrie, why don't you blow this dead? And that was nice. Now that's a Frenzy. Football Frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and New Rochelle, a team above all. A team at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Visit mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, driven to perfection since 1968.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I can't be 100% candid on the radio. The FCC would get involved. Now, listen,
they'd be knocking on the door before we finish this segment if you were honest about it.
Let me say something, though, Dave, because I like a lot about you. Mm. There's a little bit I don't. And one of the things is the, I call it disregard for the people that make the show run behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
And I think what ends up happening is they get their revenge. And it's interesting, Ty, who I would say we've befriended each other at this point.
Yeah, no, he's a terrific guy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say the words, but it's the actions. And he says, I don't really feel like I can produce with Dave. He's haughty. And so what he did was he said, hey, RJ, I have something I think that could add to the show. I didn't even ask him what it was. I said, you know something? You got my... He got a little bit of sound for us, he said.
Okay.
So you got my permission, the real power broker. Let's listen to what Ty put together.
All right.
We get to talk to the great, knowledgeable, all-knowing R.J. Bell. R.J., how you doing?
You know something, there's two kinds of people, Michael. One would hear a legend say that and think, isn't it wonderful? I'm among the most popular guests. I'm not like that. I'm thinking, who could be above me? So what's the list?
You have the full list? It's probably Steve Young's above you.
Okay, I get it.
Trey Wingo's a real solid guest.
I see that.
Who else, Don?
Van Gundy.
Van Gundy is very good. I'd say you're fourth.
I'll take it. Deal.
It's good company right
now. Top five
is
good.
That's what I'm saying. That is good company.
Yeah, it's not like we had some schmo and said that, you know, he's better than you. No,
yeah,
that's not
then,
the case.
Then we would have had a problem. See, there's the thing. I didn't know that was coming. Thank you, Ty.
You had no idea, I'm sure.
But it's funny, the way you make it out, oh, Dawn, so hard. No. They do it. It's for fun. We're having fun. There's just this appreciation from a legend. And for some reason, you're resistant. I don't understand it.
You're very, I don't know if sycophantic is actually a word, but it's,
it
it's,
is. It,
what you do with Michael, it's nauseating. Really. Michael's great. He's a fan of yours. I get it. But this, oh, Michael, you're better than this. And I want to tell you about the RJ Bell segment on the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN, powered by Sportsbook 360 and Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. They now have a new way to play at Sportsbook 360. They're open 7 days a week. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Playtime elevated. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Must be 21 or over to gamble. Standard rates may apply. 11 words or less, RJ.
Yeah, will you promise you won't get revenge against Ty, though?
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Ty.
Okay, because it sounds like you went quiet, your eyes got narrow. I mean, it's that weird.
I did get glassy-eyed and a little uncomfortable. Right now. 11 words or less. Now, here's the thing. I'm holding you to 60 seconds. If you go over 60 seconds, I'm just going to interrupt you.
I don't think you got Mr. K exactly what he's doing with me, but okay, I'll try. 60 or better.
Tony Poughkeepsie, 11 words or less.
Give me the winner for Monday night's game and the over-under.
Was that give me the winner
exactly.
For Monday night's game and the over-under? That's 12 words.
Oh, so we got to give him the over.
So just give him the over. Forget about the under.
This is so fascinating.
Your 60 seconds starts now.
This is so fascinating because, let me say it now, is 7 points on the road, right? Dallas is favored. And the line in week one was 7 points with Dallas at home. So that means somehow there's a 6-point marginal difference between these two teams, the distance. Wouldn't you say the Giants are at least as good right now as you thought they were going to be entering the season?
Yeah.
Right in the range. Maybe minus,
decently last week, yeah.
Maybe it's minus 1 point. Maybe, right? Okay. And what about the Cowboys? About the same, maybe up a point?
Yeah, in that range.
So why is the line 6 points in favor of Dallas, where Dallas was 7 at home in week one? Now Dallas is 7 on the road.
15 seconds.
Under that theory, that means there's huge value on the Giants. I'm not sure if there is, but boy, that is interesting.
You did it. I knew you could do it.
They
Vito
call it
in
the
Manalapan. Vito, 11 words or less.
The better survivor pick. Who is the better survivor pick, Browns or Panthers?
Theory. Well, first thought is you must have used everybody if the two choices are 4-point favorites or 3.5-point favorites, right? So what I'll do.
I've already moved on, by the way. I took the Niners on Thursday. They win. Now I don't have to sweat the weekend. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's a nice. I mean, that's a good number for sure. I thought when you said moved on is you lost in week two in your mind.
No,
you weren't even
I'm alive. I'm alive and well.
All right. Well, that's awesome. And it is fun. It's a fun thing, right? Because you don't need to understand the spread. Here's the general approach. Pick the team that's above a touchdown, right? And look at that universe of teams that obviously you haven't used them yet.
Right.
But just
so I think that's only Dallas and Buffalo this week, though.
Okay. So
maybe,
but again, how often is a Buffalo?
He probably used Buffalo when they played Miami, and they probably used Dallas when they played Miami.
Well, again, sometimes it is more about the opponent. So if there are more than one team to consider, what you do is say, amongst these two, let's say, who is likely, looking at the schedule, going to be a bigger favorite later? So I'd rather lay 7 now if that team that I'm going to use, let's say the best line down the road is them 7, whereas there might be a team 8 now, but if they're laying 14 in a couple weeks, lay 7 now and defer the 8 because though you're losing a point this week, you're gaining many points in a future week.
Danny Long Island, you go 11 words or less.
I have permission from the caller to ask two great questions. Number one, does Ty even have any idea what the Malachi Crunch is?
No, and they have two, no idea. I bet you RJ does. RJ, do you know what the Malachi Crunch is?
Well, you know something? Let him ask question two, and then I'm going to answer question one.
All right.
Question two, I love the Steelers at home. Does RJ Bell?
Okay. Oh, I like the respect at the end, though. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to answer. Now, listen. You might have to listen a little bit here, but this is my answer on the Malachi Crunch.
A victim of the infamous Malachi Crunch.
Wow. Yeah. You know it?
That's on my soundboard.
So you know. Why don't you tell people? So I was asked a question before, and my response was the Malachi Crunch, and it fell on deaf ears. You know what the Malachi Crunch is. Why don't you explain to the people what it is?
Well, first, do I know it? I have it on my soundboard.
Beautiful. So now expound on it, RJ.
All right. In the happy days, and here's the thing you got to remember about a guy significantly older, Dave, is in the 70s growing up, there were three stations. The whole world watched the same shows. And Happy Days was so big. So, I mean, I was too young to remember. But Happy Days was so big that it was just in the culture. And the Fonz, right? Malachis were this dastardly brotherly combo. And they really hated Pinky Tuscadero.
That's right.
Yeah.
And her, her sister or her cousin?
Her sister, Leather.
Leather Tuscadero.
Yes, think about that name for a second. And I'm betting you like Leather.
I was a fan of the entire family of the Tuscaderos, yeah.
I can't lie. About 6 months ago, I went and did a deep dive on YouTube about them, the family, different things that were happening. And if you look, Pinky now, in hindsight, was in her late 40s and looked like she worked, let's say, at a Denny's. I mean, it was the whole thing. Now, Leather passes the test. But what ended up happening was, and I don't know if it's a spoiler, is they were
the show's 40 years old. I think you're good.
Yeah, they were in a type of what do they call that when you smack
demolition derby?
Demolition derby, mm-hmm. Exactly. And the Fonz is the type to always sit in the background and not necessarily participate. But he actually played this. And here's the thing: the Malachis, once your car was broken, they would come at you from two different directions, boom, and hit you. Well, you know what the Fonz did? The Fonz acted like his car was broken down. Malachi started going at each other. He hit the car like the Fonz tends to do and drove it away. Malachis hit each other. The Fonz won.
So well played. Beautifully. Now, one more, and then you can get to the Colts and the Steelers.
I appreciate
that. I
really
love the Colts in this game. But what was, because you're a big fan of Happy Days, what was the name of Fonzie's nephew?
Chachi?
Well, yes, and there was another little guy.
Spike!
There you go! You're so good.
Did you hear the happiness in Dave's voice?
Because I'm very proud of you. All right, go ahead. Steelers, Colts.
90% of wise guys are on Pittsburgh. As a Steelers fan, I'm passing. I'm neutral. And the reason I'm saying is I know Pittsburgh psychology very well. And I told you a couple weeks ago, after Big Ben got hurt, more than a couple now, I said Pittsburgh's going to do well, Tomlin does well when they're underdogs, when they're the team that you're not expecting a lot from. For the first time now, in Monday night, we saw the beginning of it, Pittsburgh's got higher expectations. I think this tends to be a flat spot for them. We talked to your partner, Canty, on the Friday show. It's one of those things, Monday night game, they win. It was close. Pittsburgh's not going to really care. They think, that's fine. We can do that. I think they might be a little flat here. I did like the Colts earlier in the week. T.Y. Hilton being out is bigger than most people think. So it's moving to neutral to me, but I don't like Pittsburgh.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump. Dave Rothenberg.
Well, you can try. Very few have had the ultimate success. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the law offices of, one of the most famous attorneys we've ever had in this grand country, Andrew M. Cohen. I'll tell you more about Andrew M. Cohen at the end of the segment that sweeps the nation. That, of course, is Stump Rothenberg. Ty, you're ready. You say you have a great question for Stump Rothenberg today, yes?
It's a gem.
A gem.
A gem.
Okay.
And it relates to week 9 in the NFL.
Oh, nice. A timely gem. Does it get better than the timely gem?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get to the calls. One question, one answer. We're going to move through them as quickly as we possibly can. Ty's going to play. Kai's going to play. So we're completely ready to go. Let's start this edition of Stump Rothenberg. Now, 800-919-3776. Robert in Jersey, lead us off.
Okay. Since
the year two, it's a geography question. Since the year 2000 to 2016, in those 16 years, this major city has had the biggest increase in population by far. I'll give you a hint if you want. It's not percentage-wise. Most people increase from the year 2000
to 2000. So the actual amount of people.
Correct. Actual amount of people, right.
What'd you say?
You're right. The actual amount of people.
So from 2000?
To 2016, this city had the biggest increase in population, not percentage-wise, the amount of people.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just wondering if it's in – I can't ask you if it's in this country or not, but that's the one thing I'd like to know. Is it a I don't ask you.
It's a city, it's a city.
Yeah, but it's a legitimate city? It's not like Vatican City, like it's a legitimate city?
No, 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 in the United States.
It's in the United States?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. Is it San Antonio?
No. You want to know the answer?
No, just give me the answer.
New York.
Really?
Okay. It went from 8,000, this is Census Bureau on the Almanac, to 8,537,000. It increased over half a million.
Okay. All right. There you go. 0-1, and I know Ty is just on the other side beaming that I'm 0-1, but that's fine. We're not perfect.
I'm more beaming at you trying to pry hints out of.
I didn't try to pry anything. I said I should ask you this, but I'm not going to. That's not fair.
Yeah, but you knew.
I thought I was very stand-up.
No, but
there.
You knew it was going to prompt him to give you the answer anyway.
Kyrie, me and you, forget about Ty. Don't get you know sucked in by his negativity. Did you think I was unfair in any way that I attacked that question there?
No, I don't think you were fair. I think you were just workshopping it.
Okay. So you take that tie. Huh. Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, by the way, I'm definitely your best participant in this. And reason is a couple
you're very,
weeks
you're very
ago.
Very confident in your abilities here.
You know why? Because last week somebody asked a question that I asked 3 months ago. People are repeating the question that I asked. Who was the first president born in the United States? Martin Van Buren. That was me. Okay.
Okay, terrific. What's your question today?
All right. Dave, Ronald Acuna Jr. just hit 40 homers at the age of 21. Before the 21 and below, only two other players ever did that. Just give me one. They're both Hall of Famers. Before reaching the age of 22, they hit 40 homers or more in a season. Ronald Acuna Jr. became the third. The other two are Hall of Famers. Give me one of the two.
All right. So Eddie Matthews, I think, was.
There you go. You got it. Eddie Matthews. Oh. And Mel Ott was the other one.
All right. So we're talking old time guys. All right. There you go. Matthews, I think Matthews hit close to 50, actually. And Mel Ott was my dad used to, one of my dad's favorite players. My dad was a New York Giants baseball fan. And that's the reason that I actually hit the Yankees tie. And Mel Ott was a terrific catcher for the Giants back in the 20s, 30s, 40s. So it comes full circle. See, listening to your dad when you're a kid can pay off at times. 1-1. John in Queens. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing, Dave? This is a technology question.
Uh-oh.
You're familiar with Scoop? Well, it's not.
I'm not very technological, so you're going to probably go ahead.
It relates to sports in a way. You're familiar with scuba diving, scuba gear.
Yeah.
So scuba is an acronym. What does it stand for?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
You got it.
That's what we do here. That's a nice question because it's quick. It's factual. It demands immediate answer.
And there was no hesitation on your part, which I think was the most impressive.
2-1. Are you noticing that we're on a 2-game winning streak and we're 2-1 right here?
We are.
Yeah. Would you like to play or would you like me to ask a couple more before we get to you?
Oh, I've got a football question for you. Right up
your
alley.
Let's go to your football question.
All right. These two quarterbacks are the only in NFL history with at least 300 passing touchdowns after not starting a single game in their first two seasons. Who are these two quarterbacks?
Didn't start a single game in their first two seasons?
But still amassed 300 passing touchdowns.
I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not going there yet. I want to brainstorm with you. I'm gonna say Aaron Rodgers will be one.
Aaron Rodgers is one of the quarterbacks. Now for bonus,
don't play it yet. We gotta brainstorm here. So Peyton started right away. Brady was starting by... So they didn't start at all in their first 2 years? I'm going to say... No, Breeze, I think, started. You know, it could be Favre also. Marino, it's definitely not. Rivers, it's definitely not. Roethlisberger, it's clearly not. Eli started right away in that first season after a couple games. Could it? It could be Favre, because remember, he was on Atlanta. I'm going to go Favre.
And you'd be incorrect.
Oh.
And you know what's going to hurt? One of the guys you immediately ruled out, it is. It's the quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going to oppose tomorrow afternoon. Phillip Rivers.
Is it Phillip? It's Phillip. He didn't, because Breeze was the starter.
Yeah, Breeze was the starter. Oh. Phillip Rivers played in 4 games in his first 2 years, but didn't start a single one of them.
That's very unfortunate. I was so close.
And football is supposed to be your specialty.
You know what? I don't need you. Here's what you don't need to do. I don't need you to ask it. Me get it incorrectly, and then you dance over my grave. Just know the fact that you're victorious there.
Yeah, but I look at you a little bit differently now.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be the station NFL aficionado, and now you get dinged for this question.
Let me ask you a question.
And here's where you try to pump your ego, because I already know where you're going here. Go.
Where am I? I'll tell you what. If you know where I'm going, I will buy you a sandwich next time we're in studio together.
Well, considering you owe me lunch already, I guess this is just icing on the cake.
Stop with the technicalities. I will buy you a sandwich of your choice next time we're in studio together.
The question that you're going to go with is, would you consider me to be number one at the station in terms of my NFL acumen?
No, I mean, almost, but not exactly correct.
Let's hear it.
Not exactly correct.
Let's hear it.
I was going to say, if you had to put every penny that you owned on what person at our station knew the most about the NFL.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's like a cousin.
It's a third cousin, but it still doesn't.
No,
doesn't
get you I say sandwich, Dave. Sandwich. I say sandwich.
Doesn't get you the sandwich. Gary in the car. Gary, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Gary? All right, Gary's not there, so let's go to Dion in the car. Dion, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave. I have a professional wrestling question.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, but go ahead. But you know what can call and ask this to? Peter Rosenberg is doing a show at 5 o'clock today with Ariel Helwani on 98.7 ESPN. This is for him, but I'll take it. Go ahead.
Listen, you're the whiz, so I forgot.
I'm not going to know it. Unless it's like 1980s WWF wrestling, I'm not going to know it, but go ahead.
It is 1980s. Which former professional athlete was the guest referee of the main event of WrestleMania number 1?
Give me the question again.
Which former professional athlete was the guest referee of the main event match with Hulk Hogan and Mr. T in WrestleMania 1?
That was at the Garden, actually, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Very popular. He was considered the GOAT in his sport.
The GOAT in... Because I...
At least he called himself the GOAT.
He called himself the GOAT. Was Billy Martin involved at all in WrestleMania 1? Or am I completely wrong?
Yes, he was.
He was?
Yes, he was in WrestleMania 1. But he wasn't a guest referee. He was a guest announcer.
He called himself the GOAT? Was it Ali?
Yes. Yes, you got it.
Yeah, but I only got it because you babied me along. I wouldn't have known it otherwise. So I don't know that counts, Ty. What do you think?
I don't like that. Yeah, he was just too generous with his information.
He was.
You've got to learn to just give the question.
Capable of
just
of
ask the question and let Dave do his thing.
Right, but I wouldn't see. I don't know if you would consider that a victory or not.
I'll consider it a victory because you technically got it right, but he's got to do a better
technically
job.
Technically got it right. I fully got it right, but I was kind of babied along.
I'll say technically because you were kind of ushered into the answer to that question.
All right, Kai, do you have a question?
Yeah. Perfect time for me to jump in because I also have wrestling.
Why is this happening? Why is everyone going wrestling against me? Seriously.
It's a big combat weekend.
It is, yeah.
It's preposterous, but go ahead.
I have faith in you. So
I'm not going to know it.
So I'm sure you're aware of Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah, barely.
Okay, so before he became Stone Cold Steve Austin, he was Stunning Steve Austin in the WCW in a tag team with Flying Brian Pillman. What was the name of their tag team? What was the name of their group?
I mean, seriously? This is where, I mean, you have the entire week to come up with questions, and you're asking me who Steve Austin was a tag team with Brian Pillman?
I love the question.
I'm amazed every week by your wealth of just random knowledge.
So. And I appreciate you buttering me up, but no one would. Vince McMahon wouldn't know the answer to this question.
Well, they were in the WCW, so that's fair.
Well,
but
exactly.
Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff would know it.
I mean,
Paul Heyman would.
First of all, no one knows this.
I guarantee you're going to get a bunch.
You know it, Ty? Do you know it?
Look, I know it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
You know the answer.
You're going to get a bunch of people tweeting at you this answer in a couple minutes.
No one will know. No, well, I didn't know. What was the question again?
Okay, so Stunning Steve Austin, Flying Brian Pillman. That was the individuals. What was the name of the tag team?
They were the I can't even think of anything. I can't even think of anything. I have absolutely no idea.
If this is a Scantron, you can't leave it blank. You got to circle.
I have to say something.
Yeah, you
have to. They were the Malachi Crunch.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Really?
Well, I don't know what they were.
That is incorrect. They were the Hollywood Blondes.
No.
I thought it was a great question, to be honest.
You thought it was a great question because it was so preposterous.
I think we need more questions along that line.
There's no adult that would know that the answer to that question.
Peter would know the answer to that question.
Yeah, Peter would know. SGG.
And case in point, there's no adult that would have any idea the answer to that question.
I guarantee Ariel Helwani would know.
I don't know Ariel, so I'm not going to take shots at him, but that question is ridiculous. Nothing shy of ridiculous.
And as I predicted, Dave, your mentions are now flooded with the correct answers. And these all look like adults. So I don't know about what you're saying.
I don't think so. I mean, it flooded.
I take solace with the fact that I successfully stumped Dave Rothman.
If you stump, all right, let's go to Mike in Astoria. Mike, ask us an adult question, would you? You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, I love the show. It's awesome. One question, one answer. What was Alice's last name on the Brady Bunch?
Alice on the Brady Bunch?
Yes, and it was during the episode, it was Tattletale.
Alice Nelson, and she was also dating Sam.
Wow!
Yeah. Played by the great Ann B. Davis,
yes,
by the way.
Great job, Dave.
And there we go. All right, and that is another successful edition of Stump Rothenberg. You would agree with that, right, Ty? Successful edition?
That was successful.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.